The lesson for today comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. I don't know if you got it, but it should have it there, right? But it's that first Pentecost. On that first day of Pentecost, 7 weeks after Jesus' resurrection, the believers were gathered together in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were meeting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now godly Jews from many nations were in Jerusalem at that time, and when they heard the sound, they came running to see what it was all about. And they were bewildered, hearing their own languages being spoken by the believers. Beside themselves with wonder, they exclaimed, "How can this be? These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Elamites, Medes, people from Mesopotamia, Cappadocia, Judea, Pontus, and the provinces of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabians. And we hear these people speaking in our own native tongues about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd were mocking. "They're just drunk," they said. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews, residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. Some of you are saying we must be drunk, but that's not true. It's not even 9 o'clock in the morning. No, what you are witnessing was predicted centuries ago by the prophet Joel. In those days, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit upon all my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness, and the moon will be blood red before the great and powerful day of the Lord arrives. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." There is a message. Let's pray. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. And let these words be yours and blessed. Amen. Today is Pentecost. Birthday of the Christian church. It's a big day, or it should be, but it's not one the world really celebrates. There's no gift exchanges, no candy-laden baskets, no Mondays off. Not even Hallmark is capitalized on this with cards. And so we consequently seem to be almost embarrassed by it. Or if we remember it all, just suddenly come to church and say, "Whoa, look at all the red." And so we turn this celebration inward if it's just for those in the know. How tragically ironic that is. Because Pentecost is the church's coming out party. It's a celebration of God's Holy Spirit descending upon the first followers of Jesus, who then go boldly forth into all the world with that message of the gospel. Ordinary men and women, swept up in extraordinary events, filled with the Spirit, they proclaim the good news that would set the world on fire. Let me just remind you how it starts. Luke says, on that first day of Pentecost, the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly, with the sound of heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm in the skies above them, and it filled the house where they were meeting. And then what looked like tongues of fire appeared and settled upon each one of them. And everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages. The Spirit gave them that ability. These were gifted people. As you and I are gifted people. Gifted, not in the sense we're almost prone to use the term, depending on how much skill or talent you might have in a particular area, but gifted in the sense that God uses the term. As he prophesies through Joel, that God's going to give his spirit upon all people, and they will be gifted. Charismata, it's called. Gracings. It's where we get the word charisma. These were individuals graced by God, touched by God, in order that they could grace the world. Can you imagine what it must have been like to have been there that first Pentecost? I mean, not as Peter, James, or John, one of the movers and shakers, but if you were one of the disciples like Bartholomew or James the Less or Matthias, who just got elected into the merry band a couple days earlier. What if you were there? But just Joe average disciple, suddenly finding yourself much, much more than you were when the sun came up. I mean, Jesus told you all to wait. And you can do that. The 12 of you hanging out, 9 days or counting. I can picture the waiting going on. We wait all the time. Some of them would be like playing cards, maybe, doing the latest Sudoku puzzle. Or maybe someone following the military maxim, when in doubt, rack out, just laying, sleeping it through. I mean, waiting was easy, waiting for what Jesus had promised, his Holy Spirit. And suddenly it came. Did you actually think it would be on the holiday? But you're there, and suddenly you hear the sound of a mighty wind swirling into the house. Do you get goosebumps? Do you feel the surge of, I don't know what? And then what do you think? Looking around. And you see these tiny little flames sitting on top of the heads of others, like Holy Spirit pilot lights. Do you actually reach up and see if you got one too? And then you feel it. Spontaneously. Erupting from deep within, forcing its way out, but not from your stomach, from your heart, this message of salvation. And you have the language, words of languages you didn't even understand before to go and proclaim that message. It's enough to drive you right outside that room into the city that we're told are filled with people from all over the world who are swarming to find out what you are saying. And you make a connection between you and strangers, between God and humanity. Last, Christ's promise has come true. I mean, how wonderful that had to be. After days of feeling empty and alone, to be suddenly filled. After weeks of following, to suddenly be put in the leadership position. After months of listening to Jesus' words, to suddenly going out and proclaiming them yourself. Could you imagine how cool that would be? Maybe we don't have to imagine it. Maybe we can live it. Maybe we should live it. You see, more than any other day of the year, Pentecost should be the ultimate religious holiday for the 21st century. Because what it's all about is God turning and saying to humanity, now you do it, passing the baton to us. And isn't that what we in our world today want more than anything else? To have our own touch, our own control of things? Ours is an age of participation. People are no longer content to just sit back and let things happen around them. Everywhere we look, stock markets, legal affairs, medicine, TV, people want in. They want to be a part of the decision. They want to be part of the process. We want to all do it ourselves, have our own say. Of course, shouldn't this be happening with the church? Well, theoretically, it started 500 years ago with Martin Luther and his priesthood of all believers, where every Christian is a priest serving and bringing God to everyone else, but we pay lip service to it, but we're not so good at putting it into practice. Pentecost, however, shows how it can happen. Then it should happen. It's what my doctoral advisor, Len Sweet, said. The church should be a karaoke church. And I thought about it. Karaoke is still alive and well with a lot of bars around this place. And the comparison could be rather apt if you think about it. In karaoke, everything you need, words, accompaniment, background vocals, and video, are given to you, provided, just as everything was provided to those first apostles. The Holy Spirit gave them that ability. In karaoke, someone, granted, usually rather intoxicated, which is a whole different idea of being filled with the Spirit that I want to get into, but someone stands up boldly and sings a song he knows and cares about in front of everybody, friends and strangers alike. Does he sound professional? Probably not. Does it matter? No. Because the bottom line, and what's going on, it isn't about what's done with the song. It's what the song has done to the singer. That's what the church should be about. When I imagine that first Pentecost, I think the coolest thing about it is those apostles that we now venerate as saints, they were just like us. They were no different. They were the same as we are today. And we are the same as they were in our ordinariness, in our challenge that lies before us, and in the fact that we've been given gifts to meet that challenge that lays before us. To each one of you has been given a gift, Paul assures the Corinthians and us. And I believe God still gives those gifts to each believer to equip his followers. Spectacular gifts like working miracles and learning a language in the blink of an eye. Ordinary gifts like prayer and hospitality and preaching and all the gifts in between. What is your gift? How often have you used it? Are you scared to use it? Do you feel inadequately to use it? Well, don't. Because in many real ways, it is like learning a language. It starts off with ignorance and frustration and learning by memorization and repetition over and over. But eventually that happens where you go from just memorizing words to actually translating them, and then go from translating to actually thinking and living a brand new language. That's why actually I think the language part in this whole story is a metaphor, or at least merely one aspect of being totally gifted. What this whole story about is about equipping and inspiring God's people to reach out to others. So whose language do you already speak? With whom are you already connected and communicating? Have you felt the Spirit's tug or push to share that hope that is within you? When you think about it, how odd it had to be for Joe Average's disciple that first Pentecost. How risky his life had suddenly become. How strange and new the future seemed. How great the possibility of epic failure. And yet they all responded right from the get-go. They all went their own ways, different dialects, different directions, not knowing how things would end up. Now, sure, for some of us, there's going to be some rough spots. There's going to be some tough times. Some people we're going to try to communicate with are going to need a whole lot of convincing. Because what we are proclaiming is what Joel alluded to. Dreams and visions and prophecies of hopes of things yet to come. But as Paul so eloquently says, who hopes for what they already have? But when we hope, we do so with patience and passion. And hope can be the most powerful force in the world when you think about it. Especially when it is fostered by gifted, charismatic, spirit-filled followers of Jesus. Hope is more transformative than fact. Hope lightens loads, keeps doors open, binds people together, come what may. And hope thrills to the marrow when it comes true. Our hope will come true. I may have shared this story before, But if I did, I'm getting old now, so I can do this. But when we lived in Europe, Patty, myself, and Laura, who was in first grade, we took one journey to Switzerland and went to Interlaken. And we were recommended to take this Jungfrau train, a three-stage train, from Interlaken to the top of the Alps, even through Mount Eiger. And I remember we went to the Bahnhof, and I'm standing in line looking at how much it costs and being flabbergasted. So I asked the ticket agent, Alp Deutsch, I asked her if it was worth it. And she started gushing with all sorts of words and gestures, of which I caught one in three, but I nodded sagely and then bought three tickets. There's a Japanese family right behind us who had a little girl the same age as Laura was, and they got to be in the same car during the first leg from Interlaken to Vienna. Beautiful stretch. Spectacular scenery. But as soon as we got in this little car, Laura sat down on the floor, took out her Barbie coloring book and all her crayons, and in silence gestured to this Japanese girl to color with her. And they did. They're on the floor doing this. So us parents were alternating our views between the spectacular alpine scenery and this wonderful image of cultural gaps being overcome in complete silence. It was beautiful. Until we approached the train station in Bingen, and Patty leaned over to Laura and said, "We're coming to the train station, pick up your crayons." And the other girl looks up and goes, "You speak English?" And Laura goes, "You speak English?" And we found out that this Japanese family lived in Torrance, California, and they thought we were German because of my listening to the German lady with the tickets. And Laura looked at her brand new friend that would soon be parted and said, "We come and play all this time." It was only a few minutes. But what a missed opportunity. How much more us with this spirit. Don't miss these opportunities to connect, communicate, and make whole. You have been gifted to seize them. Can you imagine what it must have been like to experience the Holy Spirit that first Pentecost? I hope so. But I hope even more that you don't just imagine it, but you actually become a part of it today. God grant that. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus for life everlasting.